Oh, I'd invite you to be seated if you'd like. Reverend Scott Headke, my friend, my brother, my co-laborer in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Man, every congregation is made up of real people in a real place with a real mission. And every season, God summons a leader, raises him up for such a time as this. Scott, if there were any doubt that you were the person raised up to lead this congregation, I hope that yesterday dispelled that. You are on fire, brother. You are so ready. And so I have just one last thing to share with you before I go. JOHN1010. That was my password when I first started here at Promise. Back then, there were no uppercase, no lowercase. No special characters were allowed, let alone implied. And back then, nobody thought of making you prove that you were a human to be able to log on. Days were a little bit different back then. But one thing is true, not just before they changed passwords, but all the way true since Jesus spoke it. JOHN1010. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come to bring you life and life abundantly. As you take on the yoke of senior pastor, the thief is going to triple down on that. When Zechariah spoke the words, "Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter," it wasn't just a prophetic utterance, it was a standard battle plan of the enemy. When Satan comes to strike, when Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, remember the but. But Jesus has come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Man, I know that today you're stepping out of your comfort zone. And I looked through the Bible and I could not find a single event where God looked at a person and said, "Oh, you're in your comfort zone. Let me just let you stay there for a minute." So just in solidarity, since you're stepping out of your comfort zone, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. I'm going to use a sports analogy that is not the 1993 Bulls. I'm going to use the 2009 movie starring Sandra Bullock, Blindside. Here are four things that I found. It's the way the thief jumps over the fence to kill, steal, and destroy. Four words, that's it. In Hebrew, they're shmicka, mikveh, hen, and farah. If you'd prefer the Greek, I know you've studied both. Kara, elpis, charis, and doxa. See, in my experience, this is where the thief sneaks in, jumps over the fence, and attempts to kill, steal, and destroy. But they are also the places where Jesus bestows us with that abundant life. Shmicka. Everybody say it. Shmicka. If you prefer the Greek, kara. You got it. This word isn't an emotion. See, you're going to have up days, and you're going to have down days. You're going to have days where the Packers win and days where the Packers lose. And if the last two seasons have shown us anything, it's going to be a 13-3 ratio. Hey, you didn't think I knew that, did you? Google is amazing. See, there's going to be days where one moment you are holding the healthy newborn baby of a couple that you married before this altar, only to walk down the hallway in front of that fountain up the stairs to hold hands with a woman who just became a widow. It's going to be a roller coaster. This is what it means to live in a fallen world. And embracing this is what it means to be a pastor. It will affect you. And when you are in the pit, the enemy will want you to stay there and sink. I know this. The thief will try to kill, steal, and destroy. But when he sneaks through that gate, remember David's words in Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and you did not let the enemy gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called for you for help and you healed me. You, Lord God, brought me out of the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord. You, his faithful people, praise his holy name. For his anger only lasts for a moment, and his favor lasts for a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but shmicka comes in the morning. In case you forget that, I want to give you a reminder. Shmicka, joy. I wrote the Hebrew on one side and the Greek on the other. When you forget, look at that. If you forget when it comes, joy comes in the morning. Come on now. And Zara, that means he's going to do the dishes until all of that soap is done. Just my gift to you. So that's the first thing. Don't worry about those emotions. The next thing. Everybody say, mikvah. In Hebrew, that's the word. Elpis is the word in Greek. It's the next potential blindside. See, there's this old Yiddish proverb. I think it's a riff on Proverbs 16. It says, if you want to make God smile, and sometimes it goes, if you want to make God laugh, make plans. Can I get an amen? They did an amen today. If you want to make God smile, make plans. See, we have our hopes, our dreams, our expectations, but God calls us to pray, thy will be done, not my will be done. And even though we pray it, there's a part of us that still holds on to our hopes and our dreams and what we want. See, disappointment is defined as that gap between our expectation and reality. Avoiding this is one of the reasons Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done, not my will be done. In disappointment, the thief attempts to kill, steal, and destroy. The thief would say, don't plan, don't hope, don't dream. But God defines faith as elpis. Hebrews 11:1, Megan stole my fire. Now faith, that's pistis, is the assurance of elpis, the conviction of things not seen. Admiral James Stockdale, I know you're a history guy, one of the highest ranking U.S. officers to be held at the Hinton Hanoi, a prisoner of war camp in Vietnam, he held on to elpis in the most dire of circumstances. And here's what he said. He said, you must never confuse hope. That's elpis. He wasn't Greek, but he said hope. That you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they may be. Stockdale is a great example of holding on to elpis, while the thief attempts to kill, steal, and destroy. Elpis is the Greek word, and it stands for at least four Hebrew words. Here's where it gets fun. I didn't know this until last week. Mikveh. Everybody say mikveh. It's this Hebrew word that usually gets translated as hope. It actually only shows up 12 times. Four of them, it gets translated as hope. The other four, here's what it says. This is in 1 Kings 10:2, and the same verse is repeated in 2 Chronicles 1:16. It says, and Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and mikveh. There it's translated linen, yarn. How weird is that? Maybe I'm reading too much into Scripture, but when hope gets translated as linen, yarn, I wonder if it's because there is one linen, yarn in which we can put our hope. One linen yarn that weaves through all of Scripture. It's that crimson thread that you have so faithfully taught on. And that crimson thread has a warp and a weft. It weaves in and out of our lives. And the fact is, sometimes it's hidden. Sometimes we can't see it quite right. At church, we highlight those places where it's hidden. See, we don't see the hope when we look at the cross unless we see Jesus. Before Jesus, it was just a torture device for death. Somehow, it's a mystery. That's why we have it veiled. But this crimson thread weaves through, in, with, and under this bread and this wine, calling us to that hope. I encourage you, when your hope gets drained, this is going to be in your goodie bag. I won't untie it right now. But cut off a little piece of that rope, tie it on your wrist, and remember the crimson thread. That's what Deuteronomy 6 is all about, a reminder of what Christ has done. Kara, Elpis, Shmikha, Mekfa, these are all potential blind sides where the enemy sneaks in to kill, steal, and destroy, but they are places that Jesus brings abundant life. So are Han, everybody say Han, and Kairos. Ah, such good words. See, verse 9 of Genesis 6 tells us that Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Like you, Scott, he was summoned to lead. A text like that can rock your world and make you wonder if you're worthy. I mean, stop and think. Noah, a righteous man, blameless in this generation. Scott, you have been vaccinated against bursitis. Not just full bursitis, but partial bursitis. Always read it in context. I want to give you what Genesis 9 says. The next line is, he walked with God. It was God himself, not Noah, who made Noah righteous. The verse beforehand, but Noah found Hen. That's that word translated grace in the eyes of the Lord. See, in a few moments, you'll lead promise in receiving grace. You're going to uncover this veil, and you're going to speak the same words that Jesus did on the night when he was betrayed. And there's solidarity with Christ in this. You know that. The guys wearing stoles today, they know that. You guys, you're going to experience that really, really soon. And I know where. Just saying. Scott, some weeks that solidarity is going to run deep. When you lift up that bread and you say, his body broken for you, you are going to do it with yourself having a broken body for this church. At least for me, that was kind of paradoxical. In those moments, I felt this solidarity with Jesus, moments that I tasted the love Christ had for me, and I pray that it's the same for you. Christ-like as you are, and you are Christ-like, my brother, there are moments also where you will fall asleep in the garden. It's those times when you fall short that the thief creeps over the fence in an attempt to kill, steal, and destroy. He attempts to kill, steal, and destroy that grace, and if he gets that one, he gets your soul. See, when you fall short, when the thief breaks in, look backwards. Remember where you came from, not as a DCE, not work in construction, but from that font, where Christ claimed you as his own. Look back to Ephesians 8. Let me just read it. You were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and powers of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were in nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. For you, those were diaper days when mom and dad carried you to the font, and that's where we see the bud. But God, being rich in mercy, because of great love with which he has loved us, even when you were dead in your trespasses, made us alive in Christ. By charis you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, so that in the coming ages he might give you the immeasurable riches of charis in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by charis you have been saved through elpis. As a callback, you remember that word from a few minutes ago. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that nobody can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When you fall short, fall back on grace, not on your works. Don't just fall back from it. Work from it. Work your works. They are going to be celebrated. You're going to be celebrated. And there will be cookies. Cookie cottage cookies. Cookie cottage cookies with your face on them. Here you go. You can even have it as a halftime snack. You're getting installed in a little bit. You'll need that energy boost. There will be cookies. Enjoy that celebration. Enjoy the celebration of you. Promise loves celebrating a pastor who loves them. And guys, he loves you, who serves them, who serves alongside them, and who leads them. A pastor who works from grace. Paradoxically, it's the celebration that's the last place that Jesus brings abundant life. And the thief jumps over the fence in an attempt to kill, steal, and destroy. In the midst of celebration is another blind side, another spot where the thief will break in, and he tempts us to make it all about us, about what we do. When you feel the breath of the evil one on the back of your neck, remember David's prayer. Chronicles 29:10-13. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power," and the word here is farah. Isn't that fun to say? Farah. "And the victory and the majesty, for all the heavens and all the earth are yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted above the heavens. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over us. In your hand is the power and the might, and in your hand is to make great and to give strength. And now we thank you, God, and we praise you for your farar name." Farar is another blind side. See, the earliest Christians, they realized this. That even when we pray, we can make the glory, that's how that word is translated, about us. So the earliest hymn books, they added verse 11 of David's prayer to the end of the Lord's Prayer. We say it every week. If you look in Matthew or Luke, it's not there. We added it because they realized that the glory had to go to God, and that's why we stop and we pray, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." We call that the doxa. When farrar and doxa are in the room, we love to use the mirror and look at ourselves. Man, turn the mirror and reflect the love of Jesus. May it blind you. And sorry, I'm just trying to just hit him. I keep hitting the people in the back row too. Remember that. I wrote that on the back. I could have made this easier and just had you come up and give you all these. Come on up here. Come on up here. That's also a hint that I'm closing this down. Oh. So here's the deal. If you want to say those four words this way, shmicka, mekva, hen, or farar, that's cool in Hebrew. If you want to say those words in Greek, kara, elpis, karas, or doxa, that's cool. Or you could prefer the English, joy, hope, grace, and glory. See, these are glimpses, tastes of the promise, if you will, of the abundant life in Christ alone. Let these four words be for the next generation. And let them constantly remind you of Acts 3:29, that this promise is for you and for your children and for the generations that are far, far off, for all whom the Lord has called. Although the thief will attempt to kill, steal, and destroy, Jesus has already won. That's who we follow. That's who we preach. And as you do that, know that God goes with you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face on you and give you his peace. Go in that peace. You got this, dude. You got this. Pastor Sims, brothers, the floor is yours.
Good morning. Good morning. Is that working? Okay.
Good morning.
I knew they'd try to shut me up some way. It is an honor and a privilege for me to be here today. You may not know that 25 years ago, I preached one of the first services at Promise at Jefferson Junior High School. And sat in the bleachers. Also, I want you to know that these men in their white albs, my white alb is in the promised land, Ohio. Which is a reminder to all of you this afternoon to root Ohio State on to victory so that they can play that team up north again. What a privilege to be here today for the installation of Scott as pastor, senior pastor of Promise Lutheran Church. We're going to begin with the invocation. It's only proper that we are reminded. The kneeler sat before the baptismal font to remind us of our baptism. Because at our baptism, someone put water on our heads and our hearts and said, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you. And that's how we begin our installation. Beloved in the Lord, through the church's usual order, the Reverend Scott Hetke has been called by the Lord of the Church to be senior pastor of Promise Lutheran Church. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your Son, our Savior, you have always given to your church on earth faithful shepherds to guide and feed your flock. Therefore, we pray, make all pastors diligent to preach your holy word and to administer your means of grace. And grant your people wisdom to follow in the way that leads to life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Hear the Holy Scripture and what it says concerning the institution of the office of the Holy Ministry.
Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained."
And hear what the Holy Scripture says concerning the responsibilities of the office of the Holy Ministry.
Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep."
Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and the repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem."
Paul writes, "I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'
Do not neglect the gifts that you have, which have been given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers."
This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy.
Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God.
If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears that they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil.
Our Lord gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Take heed to yourself and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compassion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory.
Hear what the Holy Scripture says concerning the strength and the promise of God that he gives to those in the office of the holy ministry. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all of the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven."
Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends.
Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures are given by God, given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Dear brother in Christ, the Lord grant that you receive and keep these words in your heart, so that you may be strengthened and encouraged in your labors. For God gathers his church by and around his holy gospel, and thereby also grants it growth and increase according to his good pleasure. That this may be done, he has established the office of the holy ministry, into which you have been called by the church, and have been ordained and consecrated by prayer and the laying on of hands. It is fitting that you should again acknowledge the responsibilities of this holy office in which you are to serve as senior pastor of Promise Lutheran Church. In the presence of this congregation, and before our Lord God, to whom you must give an account now and at the last day, I now ask you, do you acknowledge that the Lord has called you through his church into the ministry of word and sacrament?
I do.
Do you believe and confess the canonical books of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, and the only infallible rule of faith and practice.
Yes, I believe and confess the canonical scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice.
Do you believe and confess the three ecumenical creeds, namely the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian creeds as faithful testimonies to the truth of the Holy Scriptures? And do you reject all the errors which they condemn?
Yes, I believe and confess the three ecumenical creeds because they are in accord with the Word of God. I also reject all the errors they condemn.
Do you confess the unaltered Augsburg Confession to be a true exposition of the Holy Scripture and a correct exhibition of the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? And do you confess that the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, small and large catechisms of Martin Luther, the small called articles, the treatise on the power and primacy of the Pope, and the Formula of Concord, as these are contained in the Book of Concord, are also in agreement with this one scriptural faith?
Yes, I make these confessions my own because they are in accord with the Word of God.
Do you promise that you will perform the duties of your office in accordance with these confessions, and that all your preaching and teaching and your administration of the sacraments will be in conformity with Holy Scripture and with these confessions?
Yes, I promise, with the help of God.
Will you faithfully instruct both young and old in the chief articles of Christian doctrine? Will you forgive the sins of those who repent? Will you promise never to divulge the sins confessed to you? Will you minister faithfully to the sick and the dying? And will you demonstrate to the church a constant and ready ministry centered in the gospel? Will you admonish and encourage the people to a lively confidence in Christ and in holy living?
Yes, I will, with the help of God.
Finally, will you honor and adorn the office of the holy ministry with a holy life? Will you be diligent in the study of Holy Scripture and the confessions? And will you be constant in prayer for those under your pastoral care?
I will, the Lord helping me through the power and grace of His Holy Spirit.
Hit the right page here.
My friends in Christ, beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. You have heard the solemn promise of him called to be your pastor. Will you receive him, show him that love, honor, and obedience in the Lord that you owe to the shepherd and teacher placed over you by our Lord Jesus Christ? And will you support him by your gifts and pray for him always, that in his labors he may retain a cheerful spirit, and that his ministry among you may be abundantly blessed? If so, then answer, we will with the help of God. Will you honor and uphold your pastor as he serves Christ in all his God-pleasing responsibilities? Will you aid him as he cares for his family? Will you be diligent to put the best construction on everything, recognizing that love covers a multitude of sins? If so, then answer, we will with the help of God. The Almighty and most merciful God strengthen and assist you always. Are you willing and ready to assume the public trust and responsibility, Scott?
Yes.
Scott Hetke, I install you as a pastor of Promise Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought him again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please stand. Let us pray. Merciful God and Father, you have graciously promised that through the preaching of the crucified Christ, those who believe in him will be saved. By your Holy Spirit, grant grace to Scott, whom you have given to be pastor of this congregation. Grant him readiness and steadfastness in this ministry, patience, understanding, and great zeal. Support and strengthen him in your service, that by your word your church may be built and increased. Through your Son, our great high priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Scott, go therefore to be a shepherd of the good shepherd's flock. Preach the word, administer the sacraments, offer prayer for all the faithful, instruct, watch over, and guide the flock among which the Holy Spirit has placed you. Do it not for earthly gain, but with great joy, for you have been called not to lordship, but to serve his flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The Almighty and merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless you now and forevermore. Amen. Go and serve the Lord.
And Scott, I believe the kids have a special blessing for you if you'd turn around.
Thank you, guys. I like the cheese heads. They're cheese heads.